I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew. Ben's not here, but that is... Don't worry about that, because he's in the episode. He's just not here in this bit.
He's chuckling away in the ether.
It's somewhere in the ether of your ear canal. There's a Ben.
Of course. It's a nice motto for life, actually. Well, let's get on with today's episode. It is a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Always a delight to record these, but especially this time around with one of our usual favourites, shall we say, Mr. Tom Allen.
Makes it sound like, you know, usually we like him. But at the moment, you know, something about today just didn't quite click. Usually, he's a great guy. He's usually my favourite. But I don't know, something just left a bad taste in my mouth after... No, he was brilliant. He was great. Live from his new house in Chislehurst.
Lots we had a lovely of new chat house with chat. Him. Yeah, lots of new house chat in this episode.
Loads of new house chat.
So if you're on the cusp of moving, just hold off until you have to listen to it. Just to give it that extra soup. And if you're not thinking about moving, maybe, you know, just get on Right Move and see, because it'll this really is a add real, to the episode.
Yeah, it's like a sort of, it's like a Beef Brothers cold cut. It's also a little bit like Location, Location, Location. It's sort of a hybrid of the two. If you enjoy Tom Allen, then you will want to get onto the Patreon, because on Thursday we are dropping a whole extra bonus beef recorded exclusively for the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, you will get that if you pledge $5. I think it's £4 now. It's four, so £4 and above, you get that bonus beef, plus you get 3 new episodes every week and a whole host of our archive, basically. There's over 100 episodes in the archive.
Oh my God.
So if you enjoy this podcast and you want more of it, for just a mere £4 a month, you can get all that extra content. Love,
it's quite nice to be able to point to what we've, you know, people say, what have you done during lockdown? What did you do during lockdown, Daddy? You know, you can't point to a load of eaten banana bread and say that. But we've got, there's a back catalogue that we can say, that is our lockdown right there.
What's eaten banana? Oh, sorry. I thought you. It was like eating mess. I was picturing meringue, and as the second it came out of my mouth, I was like, yeah, you've eaten some banana bread. I thought this intro is a mashup between our show and the Bake Off. I tell you what, eating banana bread would be. Do you think that'd be nice? But it's kind of a, like you take a banana bread, you tear it up, a little bit of strawberry coulis on the top, you know.
No, banana coulis, surely.
I guess so. Yeah, why not? A little bit of, I mean,
say the only thing you're bringing in to
is the meringue.
Eaten banana bread is the meringue. I think you're looking at chocolates. You're looking at banana coulis. You're looking at a bit of chocolate sauce. Oh yes, fucking please.
Sounds nice, actually. Sounds really nice.
Well, look,
let's
not hop from location, location, location to Great British Menu.
Before we get into that, we should talk about the Flat Slam that's happening tonight.
Yes, that's right. There's a Flat Slam happening tonight, always the highlight of the month, a live show, recorded live, and you can watch it live via a YouTube link. There are tickets available. You need to go to eventbrite.co.uk. We're kicking off at 8 o'clock normally. I think it's going to be 8, and two absolutely stonking guests tonight. Two comedians I would very comfortably describe as totally unique.
I think that's so true. Yeah.
Tony Law and Evelyn Mock. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Really excited to have them on the show.
And it's a really potent pairing, I reckon. It's going to be a blinder.
if you're listening to this on the day this comes out, then get your tickets. If you're listening to it just after it comes out, we usually keep it available for a little while. So tickets will be available for a little while, probably for the at least for the rest of the month. So, you know, watch it as live in your own time. But yeah, let's get on with the app.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Are you in your place in the Hurst? Are you in the Chislehurst?
Yeah, and I have no furniture, which is why I'm sat on the floor in an empty room.
I love
you can see
it.
Me in the reflection. Another suitcase in another hole. It is a lovely house. I would love for you all to come round.
It's no distance.
Jumping in an Uber.
Yeah, it's great.
It's Chislehurst.
Exactly.
Chislehurst is
Scotland.
No distance.
It's in the borough of Bromley.
Oh, really?
It's next to kind of Petswood.
Yes, Ben Clark.
Yeah.
Tom, where do you live?
I live in Exeter now.
What? Why do you live there?
Yeah. I moved to Exeter.
Why?
What did you do that for? I moved out during the pandemic because we were going to have a baby, so we moved in with Jane's mom for a temporary, and then we kind of liked the idea of
being there,
of raising a child in Exeter, and we could buy a house here as well. So
that's nice.
A combination of things, really. Yeah.
I feel like I know people down that way. Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, well, let me know who they are and I'll go and find them.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah.
Is that a threat, Tom?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like... Not, I'll get in touch with them, or maybe you could put us in touch. But no, you tell me who they are and I'll find them.
Fucking
fine. Chuck them down. What have these people down here done to you? You let me know and I'll pay them a visit.
Okay.
I'll pay them a good old visit, mate.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So, yes,
Harry O'Leary Mason.
I just bought a house 2 months ago.
Oh, how did you find it? Is it fun?
We looked at the right move. it's lovely, really exciting, yeah. Never owned a house before, so
same.
It's
all the stressful sort of little things that I'm slightly perturbed by. But
yeah, and if something's wrong, you go, well, if I don't sort that out,
I'm homeless. It's like, if the wind and the rain comes in.
If I don't put this fire out,
stop this flood. It's gonna
We arrived and we were like we'd looked around the house twice and we were like, this is great, it's in great condition, we're really happy. And then as soon as we bought it and then we arrived to move-in day and went into the bedroom and the entire bedroom floor, like all the floorboards creak and are like really springy and it's like a really noisy floor. And because we've got a six-month-old baby, like, A, that's problematic. But like also you kind of go, I keep going, it's fine, it's just floorboards. But like unless... I saw those floorboards. They're not going anywhere, those floorboards. It's not like in 2 years' time we'll go somewhere else.
We've sold the house because the floorboards.
So you've been there with the WD-40, haven't you, Tom, trying to get the squeaks out?
Yeah.
What's the most cost-effective way of getting the squeaks out of my floor? That's good, though. Squeaky floorboards, though, feels like a real home. Do you know what I mean? It feels...
My motto's very quickly become, it's an old house.
Keep
saying, stop saying that. And I'm like, it's an old house. It's nice. It's an old house. Yeah. We didn't want a new build because we couldn't afford one. It's an old house. I like the creaky floorboards, but it's just that when you're at 2 o'clock in the morning, if you wake the baby, then it's like a minefield. Yeah, it's a minefield.
It's an old house, baby.
It's an old house. It's not a bad catchphrase, actually, is it?
It's a good catchphrase.
It's an old house. The the thing about Chislehurst I always think of is that we used to go to a really nice Chinese restaurant in Chislehurst. That was our treat as a family. And I'm trying to think of the name of it now. And it's lovely. And then it got there was an expose in the News Shopper that they were nicking ducks from the pond.
I heard that. I was about to say that and I was like, is that true? I feel like it was a cruel rumor.
I think it's true. I mean, cool. You know, if we both grew up in Bromley, we both heard it. It's pretty, you know, it's got to be true. Right?
But they're free range. I wouldn't mind. I'd rather have a duck from the pond than battery.
Absolutely. They've had a lovely life.
Chislehurst Farms. Yeah, last minute.
Chislehurst Duck.
Oh, nice. The best, the greatest. What,
was it Taylor? Yeah, they're at least they're buying local.
Yeah, exactly.
The carbon footprint on those ducks was minuscule.
Basically.
The carbon web print.
the actual footprint led all the way from the pond to the restaurant.
the muddy footprint.
Trail of breadcrumbs. They walked themselves there. Well, try and find out if it's still going, that Chinese restaurant.
Because... Yeah, I think it changed to the Mountain View Indian restaurant on that corner. By the pond, it was by the pond, right? By the Queen's Head. And the last travel agent to ever exist in the whole world, Go Travel.
Is that still there?
I think it might be. I think travel agents are making a bit of a comeback because you can say to them, look, I don't want to get my holiday cancelled if there's coronavirus. And they go, okay, we'll find out a suitable policy. Whereas we were all like, oh, I can do this myself.
I can book it myself. What they'll say in the travel agents is they'll say, because I don't know if you listen to other podcasts, but there's a lot of adverts now for having a holiday in Sheffield. Sheffield seems to be, they're really hammering Sheffield as like, so I feel like that's what's going to happen in travel agents. They're going to be like, listen, you don't want Malaga. No, forget that. Sheffield.
Have you thought about Sheffield?
Like steel.
I do, actually. I love cutlery. So.
It's a steal. Sheffield, it's a steal. That'd be a good slogan.
I'd go for that.
Great. We're not even sponsored by Sheffield.
You should.
That's a freebie for the people of Sheffield.
Leeds we're sponsored by, sadly, aren't we?
All roads leads to Leeds. It's not as good.
Go to Leeds, I suppose. Follow. Sorry, it's Leeds. It's not a great slogan, but it's...
Cheaper than Sheffield.
More direct. Yeah. You can't go to Cornwall because they hate everyone, don't they? They don't like tourists.
Have you got a plan for a staycation, Tom? Or I don't like staycation, but you know.
I don't like the phrase staycation. I don't really know what it means. But I haven't, but at the same time, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh yeah, I've got to go to Dubai. Like as soon as they said we could go, I was like, I'm going to book it. I'm going to go to Dubai, and I'll go there 1st of April, whatever you're allowed out of the house, we had to go away, so we just need a bit of sunshine. I'm not even people booking in like August and stuff. I think you're an idiot because I'm not a doctor or in any way knowledgeable, but what? If. Did I tell?
That's the reason we got you on, actually. Yeah.
That's the reason.
If you have a look at Clarkie's rash.
sometimes I do tell people I'm a doctor when I'm drunk.
Of course, yeah.
That's how Clarkie got his rash in the first place.
he gives with one hand.
And he doesn't wash the other.
But I do think that surely people go away and they're worried about new variants. This suddenly sounded really Brexit. No, I'm sorry, that's
but
not.
But it is the worry, isn't it?
This isn't the my usual tone. But I do. I sort of wonder. That's what I'm saying. You know, now I feel like I phoned into LBC. I'm sad. I can't backtrack on the tone of this. But I wonder if you're If you're worried about other variants coming in and then you can all go on holiday, I don't understand.
Well, I think the whole... Because didn't last summer they kind of open everything up?
Yeah. You know,
like, is this what life is going to be like basically forever now? Where it gets to the summer, we sort of forget last summer. Because I was like, oh yeah, I haven't been to a restaurant in a year. And I went, well, no, I have. Because I went last summer when you were allowed to go to restaurants and then they immediately closed all the restaurants because everyone went to restaurants. So,
yeah. It's a tricky one.
So we may as well go to Dubai. We're all fucked anyway. Let's go to Dubai.
Let's go to Ducks, I reckon.
Sorry, are you guys not in Dubai? I mean, I live in Exeter, but I'm currently in Dubai.
I mean, of course I'm on holiday in Dubai. As soon as I was allowed out. Yeah. Straight.
I only have a podcast from Dubai.
Cheers, everyone, Dubai. Let's put thoughts of holidays to one side, because this is a podcast about being at home. So that's fine. You've told
anything,
us
it's been a great year for us. You know, when people talk about, there's that Panorama, you know, documentary on about profiting from the pandemic. I'm assuming it's about podcasters.
We're disaster capitalists. We didn't realise we are, but we are. Yeah.
People who've also got two massive PPE contracts.
let's not talk about that now.
Hancock's a legend. Hancock's a Patreon. He knows how to keep it sweet.
But yeah, doing a podcast about the problems people have in their houses has been good for this year, hasn't it? It's worked out. It's worked
There's
out
so,
for us.
So many problems. So many fresh problems and inventive problems.
So you've moved out of your parents and into your own place, Tom. That's your setup.
That's my setup, yeah.
How long have you been in your new place for?
One week and 2 days.
Oh, right, so it's brand new.
Yeah, very new to me.
Have you lived on your own before?
No, sir.
And how are you
finding it a bit spooky being in a big old empty house? Is it old or is it a new build?
It's an old.
Because if you need a catchphrase, I was going to say it's an old house.
We haven't got any windows. It's an old.
It's an old. It's an old shelter. Bunker.
I'm starving, hungry. It's an old house. It's been actually fun. I don't understand how the heating works. Don't understand that at all. I get very stressed about that. And I thought I was being really cool. I've talked about this on my own podcast to the extent that that I do with my friend Susie Ruffle, and she makes fun of me for bringing it up. But I invested a little bit in Philips Hue lighting, which basically is lighting. You can set light bulbs, these LED light bulbs, you're on a timer, and you can control them from your phone. I was like, this is the future. And oh, they wow. have got on my nerves so fucking
Oh, no.
Because
What's
you set
the
up like.
With them?
So I was like, I want to feel like I'm in a hotel. So I want it, or a restaurant where the lights come on early evening and they dim midway evening to a restful state.
Oh, that's, yes, I love that.
That sort of thing is available, is possible. But they switch on and I'm like, they're like, when do you want it to come on? Maybe sunset? I'm like, yeah, that's the perfect time for lights to come on. Great, sunset. But the only time they can then come off, if you put them on at sunset, is sunrise. It's like they've watched too much Fiddler on the Roof and they're obsessed with like sunset, sunrise.
In bulbs that you can't turn off.
So my whole house is illuminated from as soon as the sun goes down until the sun comes up. So basically, I thought like this is a great deterrent to anybody who might be burgling. It looks so obvious that, well, I am even here. I'm here. Right? But the lights are on all the time. So my whole house is like lit up. I mean, not that there's anything to steal because I don't have any furniture, but still.
Are light switches that much of a bother to you?
Tom, they're exhausting.
I mean, come on.
No.
If you're sat on your sofa though, and you can control it from your phone and you can control it, you know, like if you, there's a situation, you know, you could be in where you can control both the television and the lighting from your phone. Yeah, but that's the dream, isn't it? It's all there in the palm of your hand. You have to get up and fiddle around on the wall.
What Tom's ended up with is the Tenpin bowling alley nightmare, where you're halfway through your game of Tenpin bowling. It's yes, like half mate. Seven. You're having a good game.
That's a great reference.
And then halfway through one of your swings, they switch into night mode. The lights come down. The UV lights come up. They start playing disco music. Sure, if someone said to you, are you okay about this in principle? You'd say, yes, in principle, but in practice right now, like, there's going to be evenings where Tom Allen doesn't want the lights to suddenly dim on him.
I know.
Imagine if he's, you know, about to wipe or something, you know. He's in like a pivotal...
these are in lamps, these light bulbs.
Wait, Tom.
Said.
I don't know. Yeah, what are you doing this? Are you wiping by sight?
Tom's got a series of intricate mirrors and candles he uses. Honestly,
just saying,
Tom has a very special
mirrors.
Like, and I've got a lamp. I've only lit.
Tom says to his wife, "Listen, remember it's wiping night on Thursday, so don't make any plans. We're both going to dim the lights and wipe."
Yeah,
I'm an old man. I'm not saying you need it to see, but if you're mid-wipe and it dims, you might be slightly thrown off the, you know.
But you might think your arse is a dimmer switch.
You know, you never know. You might accidentally gut a ball.
I love the way Tom was in the Rolodex of special occasions in Tom's brain was spinning round, and the first thing he could think of was wiping his ass.
I know. I was like, what? Where did that come from?
Or maybe what if you're about to serve your pad thai? You know,
very specific dish. Yeah. I'm not okay with cooking, actually. From wok to plate. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You've always got to go from wok to plate. That's the rules. Never go from plate to wok.
Don't go the other way around.
You're going to give yourself an infection.
Absolutely right. Yeah. And never wash your woks. But
true. Never wash a wok.
Never wash a wok.
Never wash a wok. Just wipe it.
Just wipe it. Light. That is true. In good lighting. And you've got to have it very hot. It's not a place.
So have you got a wok in your new house, Tom Allen?
No, I haven't. I've just got a frying pan and a casserole dish. That's all I've got.
So have you got stuff on order? Have you got things that are supposed to be coming, or are you starting completely afresh? Are you walking around each room going, right, I've got to go on the MAID website for this?
I'm sort of starting afresh, really. And the thing is, like, your John Lewis is out of stock on a lot of items, which is... Yeah. Fine, John Lewis isn't the only store, but kind of, there aren't that many other stores. But it kind of is the only store. But Robert Dias, I went to for a mop. Very good.
Lovely.
Also, Argos for a mop, got the Vaida Turbo mop recommended.
You've got two mops?
Oh, sorry, the Robert Dias was a duster, sorry.
Oh, okay, right.
But
okay,
it looks like a mop, it's a long one. It's a long so duster.
It's clean, it's isn't clean
a mop,
house.
Isn't a mop just a long duster?
Isn't a mop just a duster for the top? Isn't a duster just a mop for the ceiling? You know, why don't we dust the floor? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a carpet, so that's the reason.
That would be great. But the Vaida Turbo Mop is a huge success. What else? But the thing I find is, I'm sorry to get onto my soapbox again. Rather LBC of me.
You've bought a soapbox.
That's the one thing I bought.
Susie gets to pick them up and do.
The thing is, right, it all arrives with so much packaging. Like, I've got so much cardboard, the council won't even take it.
Oh, yeah.
It's mad. And it all comes with that, like, inflatable bubble stuff, which gets on my nerves.
Or it'll be cardboard, but then I've attached to each bit of the cardboard sort of thick blocks of polystyrene that you try to think, pull this off and put it in.
And then I can put it in the recycling. No, forget it.
Pull that off and it's a snowstorm all over your house. And then it sticks to your clothes, it sticks to the carpet, it sticks to the walls.
Thank you.
It's infuriating.
Absolutely.
The other day I had a package and inside the package were two pieces of wood.
Yes, what? I've seen
stenciled on them. This is packing.
What?
So someone has stenciled onto the bits of wood. This is packing.
That's a confident packer. He's gone, this is packing, mate. I'll show you packing. You want to see packing? This is packing.
So like, you can't put wood in your recycle bin.
Two pieces of wood.
And I can't do anything with that wood because it clearly states that it's packing. I can't make it into a shelf. People will think, oh, Parry's hit the skids. First he's bought an old house. All the shelves.
The second time tonight he's hit the skids when the lights dimmed halfway through. Beer from the sorting out your
beef. Let's crack on with the beefs, shall we? I'll do this one first of all. This is from someone called Ben. Abrupt endings from Ben via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
This is how I tell them. I'm going to do a podcast.
This could be Clarky. Okay, here we go. Hi Pappies, I'm really hoping you can help. I've been with my partner just over a year and we've lived together for pretty much all that time. Brackets, we bubbled together during the first lockdown and then I never really left. It's one way to do it, sure.
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
It's been going incredibly well, but recently there have been some warning signs. Ooh. How she watches TV is fucking mental. Let's not even get into the fact that she'll skip through TV shows if she's finding a scene boring. This mainly happens during reality shows such as 90 Day Fiancé, so I'll let it slide, as we need to discuss the abrupt endings. I think if you're watching reality TV, there's like a show like 90 Day Fiancé or one of those kind of shows, they're all an hour long. Mm. There's, you know, 45 of them in a series or something like that, isn't there? There's loads of episodes in a series of those reality shows. I think if you think you're not going to get anything from the scene, fast forward through it. If it's important, they'll show it to you three or four times in the episode anyway, and in the and in the next episode to recap. I think that's fine. Let's talk about these abrupt endings, though. During a show, she'll just get up off the sofa and walk off. Sure, this is fine when making a cup of tea, but recently, during an episode of Superstore, she got up, walked into the bedroom and started having a nap. I call that going to bed. Please note here, I've never watched Superstore, so it wasn't like she was leaving it playing for my benefit. This struck me as strange, and since then it's got weirder still. Halfway through the finale of Cobra Kai, she decided she was done and went off to start cooking. We stopped watching The Circle during the final episode, just as the winner was about to be announced. And just last week, I sat through Avengers Endgame for the third time, as she'd not seen it, and she went to get ready for bed with 2 minutes left. Spoiler alert, during the funeral at the end. Oh, that is a spoiler, yeah. I said spoiler alert. We don't know whose funeral it is.
No, that's it.
This was the most infuriating.
It's Captain Avenger.
It's, yeah, poor old Captain Avenger.
It's Mr. Avenge.
We never knew ye. This is most infuriating as we were watching it for her benefit. Oh, come on. Oh, watching come it for her benefit. Yeah. That kind of phrase. Yeah. This is for your benefit, not for mine.
Oh yeah, I've watched it four times, but this one's all about you.
This one's for you. This was most infuriating as we were watching it for her benefit, as we'd started watching The Falcon and The Winter Soldier, and she didn't know what happened to Captain America, and this is explained in the final 2 minutes of Endgame.
Right, well, spoiler alert, he has a funeral.
I think you've really given us absolutely, well, no worries for anyone who's saving that for
us. He was dead all along.
I think this maybe explains why she doesn't need to stay to watch it to the end. He's already gone.
I get it.
Oh, this is the funeral that you told me about. I get it. Okay, fine, I'm going to bed. Good night.
Could you not have just told me that instead of sitting me down and watch this 3.5 hours?
Three words, Captain America's dead. That's all it would have taken, and then we could have had a nice curry.
He dies, okay?
What on earth is wrong with her? Is it something to do with things ending that she's afraid of? Or is it an admirable personality trait that if something is boring her, she won't put up with it for even a second longer? Please help me solve this beef, and if possible, leave it until the end of the episode so she never hears it.
Lovely.
Cheers, everyone. Have it, Ben. Ben has also written to us a little extra bit about speaking Norwegian. He says, P.S. I wrote to you before and shared with you that the Norwegian for goodbye translated into English as translated into English is have it. Hence, cheers, everyone. Have it.
Is that a catchphrase on this on this podcast?
Cheers, everyone. Bye is our catchphrase. It's one of the mildest catchphrases out there, I think. Tom, how do you feel about that? Are you a completist? If a show has started already, will you happily pick it up? Will you leave before an ending?
I will pick it up without watching the beginning, but I will not watch the end unless I really hate it. What I would also say, the thing that strikes me here is this is actually a very sad letter, because what he's not realized is that after a year of lockdown, she cannot bear to be in the same room as him. and he's failed to realize this. And so she, I think, is going like, I'll stay as long as I can. And then I'm like, he's doing that thing he does and I hate it. I'm going to go to bed. And so she's going to bed early so she can fall asleep before, assuming they're sharing a bed, so she can fall asleep before he gets into bed. So she's not even conscious of his presence. She hates him, is what I'm saying.
Right.
That's my feeling. Is that too bleak?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, it's bleak, but is it too bleak? We don't know.
I don't think she's the one who fears things ending. I think it's our man who should fear things ending.
Because yeah.
It does not bode well.
I feel like he's at the ending and he just doesn't realize. You know?
I mean...
One day he's going to walk out and never go come back.
Yeah,
she's going to walk out and throw herself out the window, I think.
you've got to switch off the TV set, man, and do something less boring instead.
Why don't you?
Why don't you?
Love it.
There are plenty more reasons to stay in a room with the person that you. Maybe telly's just not doing it for her, you know. And I think that's
get yourself some dobble, mate.
All credit to exactly.
Yeah. Yahtzee.
Hang on, is Dobble slang for drugs?
No.
Sorry. We'll get yourself a bit of double.
Getting a gram of double, right?
Got to do some double.
Listen, the only way
she's not going off to have a nap.
The only way you're tolerable is if I double myself off.
Double myself off. I've double dropped. I mean, that's it. It's like, you know, you've got to keep that life alive, you know. You got to stoke the fire.
I also think, you know, find stuff that you both enjoy, right? Because look, let's pick through this. 90 Day Fiance, reality shows, he doesn't care that much about it. So you're not watching that together. She's got it on while you're in the room, right? Superstore, clearly you're not watching it. You're not watching it. You don't like it. She's watching it, but you're not, you know, you're not engaging in it. So what's the point in, you know, Avengers Endgame, you're showing it to her because, oh, you've got to watch this. You've got to find out what's going on here. That's not how you watch television together. You're not experiencing something for the first time together. So I feel like find your shows. You know, watch Endgame on your own time. Watch Cobra Kai and all that stuff that you find interesting and she doesn't.
What's Cobra Kai about, by the way?
It's like the Karate Kid. It's like the follow-on from the Karate Kid.
Oh, I wouldn't enjoy that at all. Right, I mean, the first one. So I wouldn't. What are they, adults now? Is that the thing? Karate Man.
They're all grown up.
Karate in the dojo. Bobble in the dojo.
You make a good point. Why don't they call it Karate Man?
Karate Man is the obvious sequel to Karate.
Karate Man's a much better title, isn't it?
Karate Mature Adult. Yeah. Karate Bloke.
Karate Bloke.
I feel like that's what you need, isn't it? You need stuff that you're both invested in so that you both care about it. Mm. And it feels like that's not happening.
Queen's Gambit.
Get yourself both into the Queen's Gambit. That's exactly
the thing that couples watch, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, we actually bailed in the Queen's Gambit before the end when we realised it was all about chess. You're like, is it going to be about chess?
Kids doing drugs in an orphanage. That's very intriguing.
Yeah, the druggy orphanage years were great. Yeah. How far did we get? 4 or 5 eps, maybe?
Did you not
before you realised it was all about chess?
No, not before I realised.
I mean, clues were there, mate.
I got to the series finale of Cobra Kai. It's all about fucking karate.
I've got something else in a minute. Snake.
I don't know. It just didn't appeal. But at least we bailed together. At least we sort of looked to each other and went, are you enjoying this? Not especially. Let's not. You know, it becomes that thing when you've got a few shows on the go and you go, we could watch that tonight. And neither of you feels, you can tell from the tone of voice, we're never going to watch that again.
That
That's
Nicole
what
Kidman
happened.
One, that was quite good with Hugh Grant. I thought that was quite good. The Undoing. That was quite good. Oh, I thought it was a bit of a disappointing ending, but you don't, you sort of watch it.
Well, don't say that. Hang on. Tom, that's the last thing you want to be saying to Ben and his girlfriend here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think recommending other TV shows is what this beef needs.
I think we've fallen
into a trap here to go, have you thought about trying The Queen's Gambit? Have you thought about trying The Undoing? Let's not recommend more TV shows.
This is what a relationship therapist would do, though, right? They come in and go, something's not right. Oh, have you seen Cobra Kai?
That is basically all relationships, isn't it? Isn't that all right? That's how you know.
Actually, yeah.
You know, when they announced they were doing another series of Call My Agent, people were going, oh, well, finally, now our relationship, you know, we're on the skids up until this point. Now we can
give us another
6%. Yeah. You've got to call it 10%, Matthew.
10%, 10%. Of course. Sorry. Absolute Philistine.
Yeah.
So what's Philistan. Your suggestion?
It's actually a Philistan.
A Philistan. What's your suggestion, Tom? If it's not, have you heard of Schitt's Creek?
Have you heard of Schitt's Creek? Although maybe something lighter would be their bag. It sounds like they're quite serious. Like even the circle is quite serious. What were the other things they listed? They said
so. It was Superstore. Cobra Kai 40. Superstore, which is great. I love that.
Yeah, Superstore's quite light. Superstore. Maybe they want to watch something like that's all quite.
No, you're still talking about what they're going to watch. Tom.
Sorry, that's not an alternative. I was thinking like genre change.
TV review show.
I think it's a genre change. I think they're too Netflix bound, and I think they need to move back to terrestrial programming. And I think they need to watch a nice BBC sitcom like Open All Hours, which will ground them both in the reality. None of that kind of aspirational American stuff. All kind of like nicely depressing. You know?
Yes, perfect.
Blooming.
Right.
That would be mine. But Perry, do you want something outside of television? Sorry, I think...
Break your telly.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Break your telly. Throw out the remote.
Kill or cure. I like that.
Absolutely. Wasn't there a Talking Heads song about it? About, like, get rid of the television and make your own stories, make your own art, paint each other, sing songs, muck about, hide and seek...
Is it Found a Job? Fuck. Is that what it's called? Or thank you for sending me an agent. Is that one? Damn that television. What a bad picture.
That. Play some songs, have a disco, get some dobbling, like all kinds of shit, man. Have a fucking treasure hunt. You know, you've got to grab life by the balls here. You're sitting and watching it pass you by with all these makeup stories. Make up your own stories.
Make up your own endings. This is it. I like that a lot, actually. Get rid of the telly. Do something exciting. Use the brains that you are rotting away with the boob tube.
And don't get me started on podcasts. Fuck them up as well.
Your feelings on podcasts are well documented on all of our podcasts, Tom. So we don't need to go down
that. Just listening to all this drivel in your ears. Chuck us out. Go and say something to someone instead. Do it yourself.
Treasure hunt.
Get out there.
A treasure hunt's quite a lot of admin. That's all I'm stuck on with your suggestion there, Tom.
The treasure hunt one.
Yeah, just like that's quite a lot of admin to go and place all the clues, organise the helicopter. Yeah. You're doing it in the Annika Rice. What are you talking about? Just watching the Annika Rice program.
You've come back to watch a TV series recommendation.
Okay, fine. That's not what you meant.
I was struck.
It was a great show.
I was struck by hide and seek and then fight following each other, which sounds like a very high stakes game of hide and seek. Finishes with a fight every time I see him. And instead of that, I'd say you should watch Cobra Kai.
Yes, of course, it's a huge show. I like that. I actually think doing a treasure hunt for each other. Sure, it's going to be. It's going to be a lot of admin, but the payoff's going to be great.
Well,
this whole thing, Tom Allen, involves effort. That's what I had to make to you, but it's all about doing it yourself, getting things done. Mm. It's all about putting in a bit of effort, but what you get out is so much more than just sitting there vegging away.
Yeah.
Watching Annika Rice. Although,
exactly.
If she's attacked, actually. But, okay.
Tom's going to log out of the Zoom chat before it's over.
Yeah, get it.
I think you're absolutely right because your partner Ben sounds like somebody who is bored easily, and that should be a warning bell for you. Don't be boring. Don't be a boring person.
Rely on the thing you're watching to be interesting. Be interesting yourself.
That's wonderful advice, Harry.
Interesting
really.
Yourself. But what if he's a naturally boring person?
Okay. Anyway, listen, we've talked enough about this. I think it's beef solved.
From the sorting out your beef solved.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is it not beef cured?
Oh, I like that.
Then you could get some lovely brassala sent to you.
Now he tells us.
I'm just saying. It's too late.
Well, I tell you what, let's see if you can cure this beef.
Again, another failed heterosexual relationship, I think. Well, no, not failed, but troubled. Katie says, Pappies and friends. Katie here. Please, please help me. My partner and I have lived happily for many years together. We live in the Midlands. However, for a few years now, he's worked in London, commuting in 1 or 2 days a week. So far, no big. However, since the pandemic, he's been working from home 5 days a week. Most people have saved their commute money up and been wise. Michael, however, hasn't and keeps buying random shit on the internet. Excuse me, I sort of hiccuped with disgust. In the last 12 months, we've had the following arrive. Vinyl record player, 25 records, brackets all Iron Maiden or Judas Priest.
Love it.
Keyboard, foot pedal and stand, harmonica, chef's knives, cafeteria, beer fridge, 10 books on history, brackets.
Is this the generation game we're playing here? Especially with your gorgeous RP, it really felt like you were about to say, and a cuddly toy.
And a cuddly toy.
What's on the life generation.
Subscription to two magazines. We didn't discuss which ones. Mountain bike, monitors, Age of the Empires of Game, French and German lessons, USB DJ decks, MIDI keyboard, chess set to date. He has yet to use any for more than 2 weeks, and whilst I love his enthusiasm for something new, it feels like he's spending the money he could be saving on a commute on yet more pointless shit. Help, Katie.
Right. Well, it's almost like we've got the opposite of Ben's problem here. We've got someone here who is too interesting.
I hope that it's a like an autocorrect thing where it's cafeteria. I think it might be cafetiere, as in a coffee.
He could have bought a cafeteria.
Maybe he's brought an entire
size for it.
I would say that's the worst time to buy a cafeteria is when all of the restaurants are shut. Don't try and open one in a pandemic.
Been to the Vinyl Metal Cafe? That's amazing.
That is the sort of place that would do very well, probably. He's got a beer fridge. 10 books on history, no more, no less, which haven't been read. But I don't know what sort of history it is. It could be anything.
It's the history of metal on vinyl. can I ask, you know, if you're listening to an Iron Maiden record,
yes,
does listening to it on vinyl help? Or is that the kind of music that benefits from being on? I feel like...
You want to hear the lovely crackle, don't you, over the top of that? Screeching metal.
You get quite a lush sound from. I mean, also as well, like if they're the Iron Maiden albums that were like released in the 80s, then you might be going, well, this is how I would have listened to it if I'd been around when it first came out. There's sort of that feeling to it. I can think metal on vinyl works. Yeah.
Metal work? That's what I want to know.
That's a very good question.
You make a very, very good point. But you know what? I'm not on trial here, Tom.
Quite right. Unnamed partner.
I don't know. I think so. I think it's... What would you typically listen to on vinyl, Parry?
Blues...
Right. Oh, I see. You want to go. Right, that level of authenticity.
Soul.
Yeah,
like metal. I feel like you want to listen to it on a cassette.
Yes, you do, actually. Yeah. You want to listen to it in a cassette in like a beat up Datsun. Yeah, you absolutely want. Yeah.
You want to put it into a tape deck, man. You know what I mean? You don't want to go. You don't want that. You want it.
Is that Number of the Beast? Boom, bring your daughter to the slaughter. Boom, ba do da do.
That's what vinyl does to it. It just immediately takes the edge off it.
He's bought a harmonica, which is very,
feels like he's the embodiment of everyone's lockdown, isn't it? Like he's kind of like he's going through all the phases that people have gone through in lockdown.
I can
He's chucked a bit of money behind it.
Yeah. There was that meme going around quite early on in lockdown that was making everyone feel bad about how during the plague Shakespeare had written King Lear, and everyone's going, oh God, it stresses me out. And I think that's probably what's happened here. He's thought, well, I'm going to buy a keyboard. I'm going to write my magnum opus. You know, I'm going to write my gatefold vinyl double album of metal concept. It's like that's kind of what he's going for. Mm. I'm going to become a historian. I'm going to drink a beer out of a fridge. You know, all of the dreams that we have, all these great ambitions that we have for when we've got a bit of free time.
I could have done just one of those.
Because, like, crucially, the whole point about Shakespeare writing King Lear during the plague is that he'd already written most of his other plays, and he was a fucking good
playwright. Shakespeare,
He didn't pick up the pen during... Like, the story isn't... It got to the plague and Shakespeare thought, I'll have a crack at writing plays.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're a novelist, great. Use the pandemic to get another novel out of it, but don't try your first novel during the pandemic because your brain's all over the fucking place, mate.
Well, I think this is what this exemplifies. That's what I keep thinking, is that like no one's been able to concentrate during the last 12 months. Like you can't concentrate. So it's a fallacy to think that, is that right? That you think you can just like delve into 10 books on history, like casually, like you say, like I was going to read the Hilary Mantel book, Spirit and the Light, or the Silver and the Something.
The Mirror and the Cross.
The Mirror and the Crossfade. Mirror.
The Metal and the Vinyl.
The Metal and the Vinyl.
Sorry, it was The Metal and the Vinyl. Yeah, that's right.
I really wanted to read it because I thought I'll have no distractions. This will be perfect. And like, of course, I just couldn't concentrate. So,
Tom, I've got the same book on my shelf.
Did you do the same thing?
Untouched. Yeah.
Same with and A Little Life. I was like, I'm definitely going to read that.
Me too. Yeah, I've got A Little Life.
No, sorry, couldn't read it either. Yeah. Apparently, it's wonderful when you get into it, but I can't be bothered. I'm too busy doing stuff.
Got to check your tweets, man.
You've got to check the BBC website 8,000 times a day. That's the beauty of lockdown. That's you got to, how many coronaviruses in my area? check it every day.
Were you excited as a Bromley boy about the Kent variant? Did you feel
finally,
a little swell of pride? Yeah, a little swell of pride.
It was interesting because all through the last year, people in Bromley, because it's Bromley, traditionally it's been Bromley-Kent, but it's also a London borough. So when Kent, so like when London was soaring with numbers, everyone's like, well, we're Bromley Kent, you know, it's very different. And then when it was like, suddenly Kent was like, the numbers were going up, it was like, well, it was Bromley London. Then it was like the Kent variant, like, oh, Bromley London, we're definitely Bromley London. But now it's gone a bit the other way. Kent's gone quite quiet, but now we're Bromley Kent again.
And also, midway through the pandemic, there was talk of a Kentish border for migrants as well. So it really was, you know, like, because I'd moved out of Penge and into Beckenham, which is basically, and just
Beckenham
before.
That is your Beckenham. You've got a BR postcode, right?
BR
there.
Postcode, Beckenham, Kent. Exactly, yeah. So I really did feel like, oh, I've really moved at the most reactionary time possible. It really feels like I knew which way the wind was blowing. I was like, right, I've got to get out while the getting's good. I've got to get out of London.
Get out of this town. Well, Penge and Beckenham, we should point out, are next, they're a road apart, really.
I moved 4 minutes down the road.
Got to get out of that city.
But it's a postcode lottery, isn't it, guys? You've got to move.
No, that's it. It's a postcode lottery. Someone's knocking on your door. It's Jake Goody's husband. If you see this at first.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, fingers crossed. It's Jeff with a big check.
Yeah. But why are we talking about this? Well, oh, yeah. Lockdown's been hard, right?
I think really what you need to do is you need to take control of his bank details, and he has to perform a rudimentary task on his latest purchase in order to be allowed access to his bank to go to the next purchase.
You know what? In a game we like to call "You Play or We eBay." That's how it goes. So you've got to give us, like, you've got to be like, if you can't give us at least chopsticks within the next 7 days, the keyboards, you know, the keyboards going on the
not to go on about TV formats again during this podcast, but that does remind me a lot of the Dom, I can't remember his surname, doing Can't Pay, We'll Take It Away. Remember that charming daytime show people who had like electrical appliances that on tick, and they couldn't keep up the repayments. So he would march around. Dom Littlewood,
yes.
And he would march around with a TV crew and show and film it being taken off their hands.
Yeah, I mean, the bailiffs is a bit of a sort of dodgier one than just a couple going, look, you're spending too much money. I think the bailiffs taking your telly away is less.
I think Dom Littlewood and a series of bailiffs going around to their house would really sort this out. To be honest, the thing with this whole setup, I'm going to say it to you boys, you're too gentle. You know, it's all, I just think, come on.
Yeah, you're right.
Get a bit of brute force in there, go around, confiscate all of it, take it to cash converters, and
you've bought the harmonica. When the Saints go marching in within 2 weeks, and then okay, now you can buy a history book. I'm going to give you a quiz on, it's about the Romans, you're going to get a quiz on the Romans in 10 days time.
Nice.
Great. You've bought a beer fridge, brilliant. Drink all those beers.
I'll give you a quiz.
You got 10 days. Drink those beers. you know,
and then you're moving on to the
he's
next.
He's on his 14th fridge.
you can only do it once you've reached a certain level. Yeah. And that's a good way to tie us all down and get
if
us
this cafeteria
stuff.
Isn't running a profit within a month, I'm shutting the whole thing down.
Sure, no one's allowed to. Literally, no one's allowed in.
You better have an outdoor area with patio heating.
You better have a Deliveroo account attached to this. Exactly. Okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I think that's, well, I suppose that's a little bit like what I'm saying, a little bit of sternness.
But yours has got bailiffs in
front. And also I would reinforce it with bailiffs. Yeah, definitely.
You could get, you know, if you've got some tough looking mates, you could get them to put on the black puffer jackets and sort of, you know, just scare them a little bit, you know, just, yeah. You know, that, you know, like they used to do in high schools in America, scared straight.
Me and Tom in two black puffer jackets.
Yeah,
I've got one already.
Here come the Toms.
Yeah, they would be like that in the voiceover. Hello, yeah, we're here to talk to you about the harmonica.
Yeah. Oh dear, that was a terrible rendition of "Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In." Well. Oh well, the Toms are coming marching in, and then down the drive.
I've got a picture of you two in black puffer jackets carrying out a harmonica together, like one end each.
to me,
and this poor guy just crying, going, "Oh no, my harmonica! Please, I need my harmonica."
No,
his feet off the ground,
and we'll call it "Can't Play." Take it away.
Can't play.
This is a TV format to die for. This is absolutely brilliant.
I mean, Tom and I are both bald, so we could both fill in for Dom Littlewood, I think, at any time. You know, so we'd be both Tom Littlewood and Tom Littlewood, we'd call ourselves, and the Bailiffs, and filming it.
Yeah. Tom Littlewood and the Bailiffs sounds like a great band as well. I mean, I need a harmonica player.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect. So if you want to get back in touch, Katie, do get back in touch, and Tom and Tom will be around the house to shit him up.
Tom Littlewood and the Bailiffs will be round.
Tom Littlewood will be there. Sorry.
Beef cured.
Carpaccio for everybody.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Recycling beef from Gareth. Never a good idea. Recycling beef from Gareth via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch.
Get in touch, actually, guys. Come on.
Greetings, inhabitants of my ear canal. Please use your inimitable beef-solving prowess to help us resolve an issue with our neighbours. They don't do any recycling.
Not a bit.
We've tried all the tricks in the Pass Ag playbook. First, as we used to share one main bin and one recycling bin between our two flats, we ordered an extra of each from the council. Hint, hint. That lessened the problem a fair bit, but being environmentalists, we nonetheless hated to see every Sunday their empty recycling bin and their bulging general waste bin full of cardboard, glass and tins, almost stained with food. Then an opportunity. They left a broken TV in the bin area out front. Of course, the council declined to collect that over the course of a couple of weeks. I wrote on a post-it note the web address for making an appointment at the nearby walking distance dump. For good measure, I added a link to the local council's guide to recycling. Surely
for good measure,
the link
come
and
on.
Contract the recycling bug. They accepted the note gratefully, but no. A day or two later, I found their TV dumped on the corner of the street.
Oh, no. I would,
no
to be honest, I would.
No improvement since in their general recycling either. I know it probably all gets sent to the same mass incinerator anyway, but it's depressing to watch their disregard for the facade. God, that's a good title.
The disregard for the facade.
Disregard for the facade.
First single from Tom Littlewood.
And the Bailiffs.
Metal on vinyl record label. They're otherwise polite and friendly guys. We are in a separate dispute over their all-night parties, though, so we'd prefer to avoid discussing it with them like grown-ups option. Something sneaky is required. Please help, ooh. Beef Brothers. Many thanks, ooh. Gareth.
I reckon if you got on with these neighbours, you wouldn't give a fuck about their recycling. You hate them, and this is just a way of you feeling superior over them and going, well, we do this and they don't. I think, I honestly think all you can do is you can look at your own house and deal with your own house.
What? Crosby, do you not recycle? You're coming at this a bit spicy, my boy.
Are you honestly telling me that me chucking away some bean tins is going to, you know, those big factories spewing out black smoke 24/7 into the sky, and it's me with the bean tin? Is that what you're saying? Oh yeah, it's me.
Is this because Tom just told us we were too nice on this podcast?
Yeah,
I'm
actually taking that note. Do you know what? I lied earlier on about that polystyrene. I love it. I chuck it all over the place. I chuck it in a nearby pond and watch the ducks choke on it. Love it.
And then you serve them up at the giant. Do you work for Tom's local restaurant? Are you their errand boy? They think they're eating breadcrumbs.
They eat polystyrene, they die, they float back up to the top. Of course they're full of polystyrene.
You use them as padding in all the vinyls.
They're ready to be delivered as takeaway.
Yeah. And I use their giblets for soundproofing.
Giblets for Soundproofing is a great record, by the way.
You've got to have it on vinyl.
I think you've
got to just accept that, you know, if your house is 100% carbon neutral, then maybe start looking around. But, you know, do you use solar power? Do you use solar power, mate? You don't, do you? You don't. You don't use solar power. You haven't got solar panels on your roof because they're too expensive. Moats and bees.
I guess you just think Greta should concentrate on her schoolwork, do you, Crosley?
I do, actually. Yeah. I'm one of those guys. Where are the parents in all this? Just jumped up, little brat. Where are the parents in all this? Walking out of school, missing a day of schooling. I never missed a day of schooling.
Get fine. I think the big thing we're skirting around here, and I do think it's important, is the situation with the all-night parties that they want to discuss. Like, that is much more of an issue, and you need to deal with that because that's, like you say, breeding the resentment. I mean, sure, they're not washing out some tins and they can't be bothered to recycle a mangled-up telly. That is annoying. But if you're having all-night parties, that's really stressful.
It's the lack of sleep that's stressing you out. It's the fact you can't sleep. Little things like recycling are bothering you, yeah.
You've got damn squares all the time. So if they're not, if they're great guys, I didn't know if that meant that they were two guys, maybe gays, and maybe this was a homophobic attack. That's what I think.
God. These poor people who just hang on, Tom.
Upset. Someone isn't recycling.
Homophobes.
Is that your defence when people catch you littering?
Yeah, homophobes. Stop being so homophobic. I was just trying to slaughter this duck, and then these people come along. Tell me I can't do it. Well, they're homophobic. That's what I say to them.
Is the reason you've got no furniture in your house because you fly tipped it all in the local pond?
I've loved to fly tip in local rivers.
It was all marked as packaging. It was confusing.
I didn't know where the packaging ended and the furniture began. So I just took it all down to the woods and burned it. And anybody who tells me I'll throw it is a homophobe.
Tom, Fly Tipping with Tom Allen is a film. Is it a TV show I would definitely watch?
That would be so fun. Just throwing a fridge out the back of a car.
Dear Tom, on the motorway. I've got a washing machine that stopped working. Where can I get rid of it?
Today
we're in Penge.
You've got a lovely bit of grass verge somewhere around there. A nice recreation ground.
I could just picture the title sequence of Tom like throwing a load of bin bags over a fence into a field of cows, and they're just like shushing the camera and walking off. You never saw anything, all right? Bye.
I can't be bothered. The thing is, you got to phone up the council. You know what they're like. They're as good as nothing.
I think that would work.
But I also think, like, maybe go to the parties, get to know them. And if you're so bothered about the recycling, why don't you offer to sort through their bins for them? That's the other thing I'd be like, go to the parties.
That's great. Go to the parties with a big green bag. And just be putting away, you know, chucking all the bottles and all the cans and everything, and you can then stick them in the recycling.
They've used the passive-aggressive textbook. But again, as I've said before on this podcast, and I'll say it again, There's nothing wrong with the Hattie Jakes matronly textbook that they seem to have omitted, which is basically confronting the issue head on, going to the party with a big set of... No, it's not just a black bin bag, is it? It's like the green one and the blue one and the green box and the black box and the... But they've got to go in there and be like, look, whatever, Jonathan and Brian, listen. Wait, we brought some crisps. And we know you don't like recycling, so we're going to help you. We're going to make a start. Is that right? And shame them in front of all their pill-popping friends. And everybody would laugh about it, but everybody would know. And then you'd be like, and then after that, you could be matronly about it and go, have you done the recycling again this week? Oh, you're getting much better, aren't you, Brian? And do that primary school teacher thing of like, if you're going to behave like a child, I'll treat you like a child. That's what people respond advice. To.
Also, that while I'm here, does anyone have any dobble?
Oh, I love the dobble.
Just a bit.
Can't be trusted to play dobble, then you can sit down.
Oh, I've got a dobble ender.
Is that too hard?
It's a really good suggestion, I think.
I think it's an excellent suggestion.
Yeah.
Hattie Jakes matronly.
I think that's what's wrong with today's society is no one does that anymore.
Where's the Hattie Jakes? Where's the sort of Joyce Grenfell characters?
Anytime you invoke the Jakes, sometimes you've got to go Sykes' sister on your ass. It's got to happen.
Invoke the Jakes.
Invoke the Jakes.
That's the advice.
Exactly.
It's not, and it doesn't have to be like, it's not confrontational. It's not aggressive. It's just going, come on, you're not doing your recycling and it's getting on my tits. So we're going to do it together. Come on. Yeah. And then we'll have a nice party. And then I'll stay up later than you will, and you'll be wanting me to leave, but I won't because you love all that part. You know, it's passive aggressive, but it's also like just speaking it as it is and not being afraid of people. And I think that's what we all need to learn to do, to communicate. Is that too boring?
No. It's, you know what? It's so good. Sometimes it happens that you get to the nub of the gist so quickly that
what I'm thinking now is that in the format of Fly Tipping with Tom Allen, we'll need a final thought section at the end because that was great.
Yes,
that was really beautiful.
We bring back like the Jerry Springer final thoughts type section. That happens, but you're in a brook. You know, you're wearing waders in a book next to a microwave oven.
The shopping trolley, which I've stolen for a quid.
I would take it back, but I can't be bothered.
I can't be bothered. I leave it outside my house for long enough, and then somebody just pushes it in a local brook.
Beef cured?
Beef cured.
Good. Is that all it took? Gosh.
All it took. One brook was all it took.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Shall we do your beef now, Tom? Do you have a beef with either historical beef with someone that you used to live with, or was there a problem with your folks or a problem with your new neighbours? Or in fact, you want to talk about your new neighbours?
Well, I think they can hear me through the wall.
Okay, let's not do it.
But they're lovely. They're lovely, actually. They both come round, don't worry, knocked on the door, that's all. Say, welcome to the herd.
Oh,
but,
nice.
That was nice. And then I was like, can I just inspect your recycling? all very well, but I will need to know that you are washing out your tins. And they've been very nice. But what is nice about living on my own is I lived with my parents for a long time. But before that, I did live away from home. I lodged in a person's house who was actually in many ways quite fortunate in that she'd inherited an entire house that she could rent out to naive 20-somethings like myself, my friend. And she lived there, and that was all fine, but I have always treated myself to nice things because I'm worth it, as the advert says. And even
a harmonica, 10 books on history.
A beer fridge. Some heavy metal on record. A cafeteria.
You're a big fan of Judas Priest, of course you are.
I love Judas Priest. If I'm going to listen to anything, it has to be Priest and it has to be Judas. And anyway, I would always treat myself to a jar of Bon Maman, strawberry preserve, conserve. And she, even though she was very wealthy, she owned a house, she would steal my jam. That's one thing, to steal it onto your toast in the kitchen, but there was also a flat downstairs that she would sometimes relocate to, and she once stole it and took it down there.
What?
And the other thing she was insisted on was a daily hug. She was like, I haven't had my hug today, because she was convinced I had some sort of I was too knotted up about, I don't know, being affectionate, which I wasn't. I just disliked her intensely.
You just don't want to hug your landlord. I think that seems like that's pretty reasonable.
Where's my hug? She's probably going to listen. I don't care, really.
The Bon Maman jam, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Which is sensational.
Sensational.
There is a difference between the strawberry Bon Maman and the wild strawberry and strawberry Bon Maman.
What?
Oh, my God. Like, the wild strawberry and strawberry Bon Maman is so much better than the strawberry Bon Maman. It begs the question...
The wild strawberry has heroin in it, doesn't it?
What?
It's really
it's
wild.
It's full of double. The wild strawberries are full of double.
Pure double. You can't get it normally.
But, oh, my God. Yeah, so if you've not tried the wild strawberry Bon Maman, fill your absolute boots. But did you see the thread on Twitter... last month or so, where it was from America, and this guy was like, I was in the supermarket looking at jam, and this person came up next to me and picked up a jar of Bon Maman and said, I always buy Bon Maman because I'm a Holocaust survivor, and the Bon Maman factory hid lots of Jewish people during the Holocaust and smuggled them out.
Sorry.
So Bon Maman were like Holocaust heroes. So every time I come to the shops, I buy a jar of Bon Maman.
Wow. That is amazing.
But I should say, I don't know whether that's true or not, but I do know that regardless of
that... after that moving story that we all...
Well, to be honest, like I'm of the opinion that if someone had said... Did you know Bon Maman were Nazis during World War II? Part of me would be like, yeah, but that wild strawberry. I mean, like, I don't know if it'd be enough to stop me buying the wild strawberry Bon Maman. But anyway, it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
That is. Well, that makes it even worse that it was being stolen from me. Surely.
So she was coming in. So you had your own kind of, you're at your own sort of kitchen area.
Yes.
She would come into rifle
in
through
the
fridge.
Yeah.
And carry your jam down to her. Her fridge, basically.
Lair, yeah.
Yeah, small lair, yeah.
Yeah, and she would, also the oven didn't close, so we had to put a broom handle, or you had to put a chair against the oven to make the oven door close. And also she put an X on the floor in front of the sink, which we weren't allowed to stand on because it creaked. It's an old house!
It's an old house!
And it creaked on, and that it disturbed her in the flat downstairs. But you know when you're like in your early 20s, I mean... We were so naive about things.
Were you not tempted to lift up the floorboard and check there wasn't treasure underneath it?
Well, that's exactly what I said. I said, is there a landmine here?
Yeah, a bit of a bleaker version of the same joke, I guess.
Tom Holland's got that edge. He's got that edge.
You're an edgy, famously an edgy comic. One of the great edge lords of the comedy scene is Tom Holland.
A terrific edger. That's what they say.
That's what they say. Loves an edge. Wenlock Edge. Loves the edge. I'm trying to think of other Edgebury. Place in Birmingham.
Edge Baston
is what I meant. Yeah.
So I guess the thing to think about is because of this experience, though, this terrible experience of having your jam stolen and all this kind of stuff, that's probably given you the motivation to, you know, get out there, be successful, earn some money and get this place of your own. And maybe without that bleak experience, you would still be in house shares, frittering away your money on odds and sods, jam, you know, whereas because of what she did, it's forced you to become the successful homeowner that you are today.
Please don't call me a homeowner. That is true, actually, and I did make sacrifices after that where I moved to my mum and dad, and we had
sorry, can you give us a second, please, to enjoy the homeowner joke?
I moved back home to my mum and dad, who would buy supermarket own brand jam, and I was very happy with that, which I essentially was stealing from them. But the different.
What did that supermarket own brand jam do during the war, though?
That's the question, isn't it? That's the question I was asking myself as I was slathering it on some sort of delicious stodgy toast. I don't know. That's the thing. You don't know. I don't know. You can't ask Tesco what they did.
If you go, that happy to help badge only goes so far, doesn't it?
No matter how matronly you're being.
Yeah. No, I'll leave you
there. Desk.
What did you guys do during the Holocaust? That's going to get you a ban from at least the branch.
That's going to It's going to be difficult.
Yeah, you're going to Morrison's. I think that's actually, Parry, I think it's good advice. From obviously, Tom, you've said we've got to be harsher, but I think we're being harsher on you, but fairer on your landlord. You should go next time. You should go back round when this is all over and we're allowed to do this sort of stuff again. And
so
give her
a jar of jam through the window.
You could jam bomb her if you like, yeah. Or you could
jam cocktail.
Just give her a big hug and a jar of jam and say thank you, because in some small way you made me what I am today. You made me what I jam today.
Oh, that's lovely. You made my jam. Pearl Jam. A heavy metal.
On vinyl.
Of course, yeah. Gotta be vinyl.
The end.
Yes, on vinyl. Thank you. That is so beautiful. Thank you. Because I feel like I was still angry about that. And why was I carrying that with me? I've moved on in my life.
Literally. From the sorting out your beef. Oh, there we go. As usual, a favourite. Let's go with that. You know,
he pulled it out the bag.
A real treat. And like we said, hop over to the Patreon to get even more of our time with Tom Allen with a bonus and Beef Brother Cold Cuts. Lovely. Well, any other business, Crossbow, while we're at it?
I think that's everything. Thanks so much for listening. Patreon, go to our Twitter, of course, at Pappy's Tweet. Go to our Instagram, at Pappy's Comedy. Find us on Facebook to find out when new shows are happening, when new episodes are dropping, all that kind of stuff.
And also, try our recipes, Try our recipes and report back. Send in your pictures of your eaten banana bread. Let's see if it works.
Eaten banana bread. Do you know what? Like, because obviously, fingers crossed with lockdown easing, it feels like the pandemic is over. And you were kind of, obviously, what you were saying, it feels like the pandemic is nearly over, obviously. What you were saying is we can point to what we've created, which is our, 100 plus episodes of our podcast, plus the kind of 50 odds that we've made of the main feed stuff. But I think our true contribution is this new dish
in right at the death.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, let's not use words like death during a pandemic, but as the final embers were flickering out, we said, hang on, just like Columbo, just one more thing. What about sticking some meringue into some banana bread? Eaten banana bread. I've got to go and contact Ivo. I've got to ask him if it's been done already.
He could be the face of the dish. Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.